This is the World in Brief from The Economist. Our top stories. Speaking at a World Economic Forum meeting in Saudi Arabia, the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, said that only America could stop Israel from carrying out its planned offensive on Rafah. About 1.5 million Palestinians are sheltering in the Gaza city. On Saturday, Israel's foreign minister, Israel Katz, said that the operation could be suspended if Hamas agreed to release more hostages as part of a prisoner swap. Elon Musk, the boss of electric car maker Tesla, met China's Prime Minister Li Qiang in Beijing. Mr. Musk visited China amid growing competition from the country's car industry. According to local media, Mr. Li told Mr. Musk that China will always be open to foreign firms and hailed Tesla's investments in the country as a successful example of cooperation with American businesses. Crackdowns on pro-Palestinian protests at American universities led to more than 200 arrests on Saturday. Over 700 people have been arrested in the 10 days since Columbia University in New York called police to campus. Protests quickly spread to other universities. Saturday's arrests happened at Arizona State University, Indiana University, Northeastern University, and Washington University in Missouri. Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, the leader of Dubai, announced a $35 billion project to extend Al Maktoum International Airport, making it the world's largest. Al Maktoum will have 5 runways, 400 gates, and serve 260 million passengers a year. Most operations will move from Dubai International Airport to Al Maktoum, which will also become the hub for Emirates, the United Arab Emirates flag carrier. Iraq's parliament revised a law in order to allow prison terms of up to 15 years for gay people and 3 years for transgender people. One MP said the law would combat sexual deviancy, which contradicts Islamic and societal values. America's government criticized the law, the passing of which was apparently postponed until after Iraq's Prime Minister, Shia al-Sudani, met President Joe Biden 2 weeks ago. Nancy Faeser, Germany's interior minister, promised to continue the government's tough approach to dismantling the far-right Reichsbürger group. 9 of the organization's members faced trial on Monday for plotting to overthrow Germany's government and install Heinrich VIII, a scion of the aristocratic House of Ries, as the country's ruler. A further 18 people will later be tried in separate cases. President Joe Biden used the annual correspondents' dinner in Washington to mock Donald Trump, including comparing him to a 6-year-old. Mr. Trump responded by saying the speech was really bad. Before the event, protesters gathered outside the venue to criticize Mr. Biden's support for Israel's war in Gaza and to draw attention to the deaths of journalists covering the conflict. And figure of the day, 43 million. The number of international tourists predicted to visit the Philippines in 2030, up from 5.5 million in 2023. And now, here's a deeper look at the day ahead. How far could American stocks fall? America's stock market finished the first quarter of 2024 on a tear. Now, alarm bells are ringing. The benchmark S&P 500 index has fallen for 3 of the past 4 weeks. Bumper results from Microsoft and Alphabet, Google's parent, last week buoyed markets slightly, but investors remain jittery. They will watch Amazon and Apple, 2 other tech giants that report this week, closely. One reason is that the prospect of cheaper money is receding. Inflation remains stubbornly high, reducing the chances of the Federal Reserve cutting rates soon. American stocks are almost unprecedentedly expensive. The cyclically adjusted price-earnings ratio, a long-term valuation measure, is nearly twice its long-run average, indicating expected future returns are low. Whether there is a big fall coming depends less on sober-headed analysis than mob psychology. Bulls would have it that earnings have room to grow, possibly supercharged by artificial intelligence. But if the mood turns, watch out. Pakistan's latest IMF deal. In July, Pakistan was on the verge of default. Foreign exchange reserves were down to $4 billion, enough for just 1 month of imports, while foreign debt was $85 billion. Then the government negotiated a stopgap $3 billion bailout with the International Monetary Fund, the final $1.1 billion installment of which will be approved by the fund on Monday. The long-term IMF deal, which must still be negotiated next, will be the 25th in Pakistan's 26-year history. A measure of stability has been achieved. Reserves are up to $8 billion. In March, Pakistan's current account surplus was $619 million, the highest in 9 years. But economic malaise runs deep. Between March and November, the country must repay $19.7 billion in foreign debt and interest. The economy contracted by 0.6% in 2023 and is expected to grow by at most 2% this year. Annual inflation was 20.7% in March. 40% of Pakistanis live below the poverty line. Economic turnaround is some way off yet. Sanchez's resignation decision. Will he stay or go? On April 24th, the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, shocked his country with an open letter saying on April 29th he would announce whether to quit his job. He said that attacks on his wife, Begoña Gómez, had made him ask himself whether carrying on in Spain's poisonous political culture was worth it. News outlets have reported on Ms. Gomez's contacts with leaders of companies who supported her endeavors at two universities. One, an airline, later won a bailout in the pandemic, the other a government contract. There is no evidence beyond that, but after a legal complaint from a far-right group, a judge opened a preliminary investigation. Mr. Sanchez seems genuinely angry, but he is also a skilled tactician. He may stay, hoping to galvanize support with a vote of confidence. If he quits, a deputy from his socialist party could seek the votes to take over as prime minister. Failing that, new elections loom. Who should lead the European Commission? Representatives of the major political groups participating in the European elections in June will hold their showcase debate on Monday. Ursula von der Leyen, the centre-right president of the European Commission, will take on seven others who would like to replace her following the vote between June 6th and 9th. Eurofederalists would like the leader of the party with the most MEPs following the elections to lead the EU's powerful executive arm. In truth, none of the contenders, bar Mrs. von der Leyen, is likely to be nominated by EU heads of state and government. And her party is also far ahead in the polls. Held in Maastricht, where the EU was founded in 1992, the debate will take on climate change, Ukraine, and whether the European public will bother to turn out this summer. Despite attempts to turn EU elections into a pan-continental event, most Europeans use their vote as a referendum on how their national governments are doing. Triathletes in Chengdu eye Paris. In many sports, tournaments in an Olympic year have an extra edge, with qualifications for the games on offer. In triathlon, the combined swimming, running and cycling event, which has been part of the Olympics since 2000, strong performances in World Cup events will deliver world ranking points. The 26 top men and 26 women by the end of May can be confident of spots in Paris. The latest round of the World Triathlon Cup in Chengdu, China, takes place on Monday. Competitors face a 1.5-kilometer swim, a 40-kilometer bike ride, and a 10-kilometer run. In last year's events, a time under 1 hour 45 minutes was enough to break into the top 11 of the men's race. The equivalent figure for the women was 2 hours. Athletes who flounder in Chengdu have one more shot before the qualification window closes. In 3 weeks' time, World Triathlon is hosting final qualification races in Uzbekistan and Mexico. Daily Quiz. We will serve you a new question each day this week. On Friday, your challenge is to give us all five answers and, as important, tell us the connecting theme. Email your responses and include mention of your home city and country by 5 p.m. GMT on Friday to quizespresso@economist.com. We'll pick randomly from those with the right answers and crown three winners on Saturday.
Monday. When the Washington Senators left their hometown after the 1960 season, they became which baseball team? Finally, here's the quote of the day from William Randolph Hearst, who was born on this day in 1863. Truth is not only stranger than fiction, it is more interesting.
That's The World in Brief from The Economist, available three times every day of the week. You can also hear interviews and analysis from our journalists, including our current affairs podcast, The Intelligence, on your podcast app. And subscribers to The Economist have access to each week's full edition in audio. Just download The Economist app to start listening.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.